The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Thank y'all for tuning in to Politics, Religion, and Whiskey, the Josh Terry Podcast, brought to you by Raising Grace Studios. This week's artist of the week, I'm not taking it out, fuck it, is Jesse Wayne Taylor. Quit shaking your head, Kylie. Thank you to Two Pilots Distillery for being a sponsor this month, and Red Circle for putting a little change in my pocket. Today I got my sidekick, the star of the show, Miss Kylie Strickland, with me.
Hey.
I hate when you do that. You know you have to say more than fucking hey.
They can hear her.
Scoot up close to the mic. I know it's weird sitting in here and not in there, but it's how you don't get, you. Everybody can hear everybody. And then also, on Zoom with us today, Miss Kate Stinson, Southern Oreo. How are you doing today, sweetheart?
I'm doing dandy. How are y'all?
Finna be doing better. We really didn't like vet this to see what we were going to talk about. And then within 30 seconds in, BDSM community fucking comes up out of nowhere. And Kylie's face lit up because she wasn't the one that said it.
So, it's not me this time.
Yeah, she knew that she wasn't getting in trouble. I give her a lot of shit because she's very quickly to take it down that road. And but you are too, I guess. So we're going to start with that. But before that, Kate, drop your social media links, please, sweetheart.
Oh, Lord. Okay. Y'all can follow me on Instagram at @KateStinson_. You can follow me on TikTok at Kate Unfiltered. You can also find my podcast on Apple Music and on Spotify and on YouTube as Kate Unfiltered as well.
You have been doing episodes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes or no? Why?
Because I've got so much going on. I got to get better about it. I got to schedule things. That's my big thing. I'm just bad about it. But I have four up there right now. If anyone wants to go listen, they're great.
Yeah, go listen. Go listen to those four. They're going to want a lot more from you. And then, Dickhead, drop your stuff.
Official.Kylie.Strick on Instagram. KylieStrickland3 on OnlyFans and TikTok.
I don't know if this will be awkward today or not, but y'all two eventually have to do a show just y'all two by yourselves. It would be it'd be a home run.
Yeah, it'd be pretty good because you do
we'll
not
just
like
on you the whole time.
You don't like half of the stuff that I talk about.
It ain't that I don't like half of the stuff you fucking talk about. Is how you go about talking about it.
The more raunchy, the better.
Well, I'm just not a raunchy person. I don't know what to tell you.
This is coming from someone who used to be called the bearded bastard. So like I'm
right,
confused.
Right.
First off, that was classy. Okay, maybe it wasn't that classy. But
I was going to say, do we need to discuss the snappy chats? Because we can. We could do that.
That's
but that was for service members. So I guess in a way it was like.
It was for service members and perverts. It was a great time. Kate, that's how me and her know each other.
From Snapchat?
Yeah, from Snapchat. She was one of the original bearded bastard girls.
She sends some good titty pics and stuff?
Oh, no. I just enjoyed the titties that I saw. But okay. I never said
that. No. Kate just helped promote it. Yeah, she's. Some people in here like to do titty pictures all the time, though. I'm not saying who in this conversation of three.
I do.
Oh, you? I mean, you got them.
He gets them, but I like to post them.
Yeah, she's got like a very, very successful OnlyFans.
Oh, girl, look at you.
Do you have OnlyFans?
I do not.
Why not?
It's not for me.
I said
but
that
I
too.
Support all that do it.
I said that too, but then I couldn't turn down the money. Very good money.
Yeah, what have you made? Like $120,000 in 3 months?
Since November 1st, I've made $152,000.
Sounds about right. There's a girl on TikTok that I follow, gorgeous. She's a former Marine. Once Marine, always Marine. She goes by Weights and Freedom. She made like $250,000 in her first 3 months. It was crazy. I was like, all right. Do you?
Yeah.
No, I don't judge.
You can post whatever you want to. I think that's like what a lot of people don't understand is that you only do what you're comfortable with doing. But I'm pretty comfortable with doing.
I know. She's.
I'm pretty comfortable with doing just about anything.
She's.
On
yeah. It's out there. There's not many limits. I believe the other day she told Co Wetzel that he could, what was it, rocket launch off
rocket
in your
launch
asshole
my
dry?
Asshole dry, no lube.
Bless.
Yeah,
yes.
She's yeah, she's special. So Kate, with
yes.
the comment you made a while ago about the whatever it is, the BDSM, I don't know what all
BDSM kink community, yes.
Kink community.
So right. Tell everybody what that means, and then I also want to know how you got into it.
Okay, so first of all, I'm sure a lot of y'all just got like 50 Shades of Grey, like in your head.
That's vanilla. That is so vanilla.
That it's not even remotely the same thing. What, 365 D&I is not the same thing. So first off, BDSM stands for bondage, discipline, dominance, submission, sadism. The S actually stands for three S's: submission, sadism, and then the M is masochism. So that's what it stands for. Not a lot of people know what it stands for. But I got into it in college. I was always kind of a freak. Like there were things that I was into that like I thought I was weird for being into. I was like, something's wrong with me. Like I should not be aroused by things that I'm seeing, but I am. And so I started Googling things, you know, the interwebs, it's a great place. And found FetLife. And FetLife is basically Facebook for kinksters.
What's the name of that again?
Yeah, spell it, because now I'm interested.
FetLife. FetLife. Think of it like fetish.
Fetish life. Okay, I got it. Life.
And it's basically Facebook for kinksters. And you can find sex dungeons in your local area. You can find kink meetups in your local area. You can just ask questions. There's tons of forums for like educational purposes. There are also obviously the creepy sides of it too. Like there are people that are not looking for your best interest on there. So you definitely got to be careful. You got to vet who you are that you're talking to. But that's how I got kind of like connected with my local scene. And I didn't really get connected with my local scene until I was in college. I actually ended up going to college all of 5 minutes down the road from a local sex dungeon. Which is now shut down, but they've opened new ones other places besides the point. I will not give said locations of said places because, you know, all the things. But it was a damn good time. And basically, for anyone that's curious about that stuff, whether you're in a relationship and you just want to spice things up, if you're single and you have these interests and you feel like something's wrong with you, I would definitely recommend starting there. Make an account. Do not use your real name. That is the biggest motive advice I could possibly give you. Do not use your real name. You don't have to even use your own picture. I know a lot of people that do to promote things like, for instance, like OnlyFans, things like that. They do use their actual stuff. But if you're just new and you're just kind of wanted to dabble, I have a scene name. I don't go by my actual name in the scene.
What?
Yeah, start there.
Can you divulge your scene name?
Huh?
Can you divulge your scene name?
No.
Fuck.
No, I cannot.
You can tell me off air though, right?
Are you a dom or a sub?
So I was actually a switch for a long time. And for those of you who don't know what a switch is, it's someone that can go from a dominant to a submissive pretty simultaneously. I learned very quickly that is not my natural state of being. I am a submissive. I'm very headstrong and I take a lot of control in my daily life. So it's really therapeutic for me to be submissive sexually.
That's how I am.
Which is the case the case for a lot of people. People think like, oh, you're dominant in your day-to-day life. You obviously, no, that's not how that works. That's also why I've seen your TikTok. Like I know your sass and I know your attitude. So like she don't take no shit.
Yeah.
So it also takes a very specific type of person to dominate someone like that. Like we'll laugh at you if you don't really have what it takes.
I just like to be submissive in the bedroom. I'm dominant everywhere else, but I need a man to put me in my fucking place in the bedroom.
And if you can't, get the fuck out.
Exactly.
I knew you two are going to be best friends, and I already fucking hate this.
I used one of your sounds one time on TikTok, the one about the cooking and how we could poison you and how much
arsenic to put in your cobbler so you don't taste it.
Yeah, I used it. Like when I first started TikTok. It was one of my very first ones.
Aw, I love it.
Well, now that you two are done kissing each other's ass,
hold on, I want to know, is there something, I'm sorry, I want to know if there's, like, is there just a hard no for you? Like, something, or are you pretty open when it comes to that? And what is your favorite?
Oh, God.
Do you like it when people spit in your mouth? Do you like for people to spit in your mouth?
No,
that's not a thing.
Well, degradation is actually a pretty, like, it's a pretty common kink. Any bodily fluids that come with excrement is not for me. Scat's not for me. Not into water sports. That's not for me. But my favorites are probably knife play, electric play.
What? Don't just skip
sensation
back.
Play things like that. Breath play is one of my favorites, which a lot of people don't do that properly, so don't go killing people.
We're gonna take all four of those and break them the fuck down.
Yeah, let's go way at a time.
Dude, circle back.
Let's go back. So we're starting with knife play.
Do you like to actually be cut, or do you just like, you know, hold it up to your throat?
It can be both. So there's a lot of different spectrums of that. To give you examples, I have seen people literally have images cut into their skin with scalpels and get off on it. That is a type of knife play, but that's also the extreme type of knife play. Then there's the type of knife play, which is like what you mentioned, where someone holds it to your throat, which incorporates with fear play, where it's more of a mental game than it is a physical game. Knives can also be incorporated with sensation play. So where they trace it down your spine, they trace your inner thigh, things like that.
That's
but it's the fear of if I move, I could get cut.
Yeah, I can deal with the knife down the spine and just like a little tickle on the thigh.
All that kind of stuff.
I like pain, but I don't know if I. But I'm not a knock it till you try it type of person, so I can't say that
you
I wouldn't.
You are gonna
like
fucking
it.
Get a butter knife short as hell later, and just start scraping different parts of your body. Now, I can see just like fucking like you're spreading the butter on the fucking roll on that thing later. What the fuck?
I mean, I do like pain. Cody did get some Texas Roadhouse butter and put it on my nips.
All jokes aside, I would put Texas Roadhouse butter on goddamn anything. It don't even matter. I don't eat butthole, but you can put on your butthole, and I'd be like, you know what? It's Texas Roadhouse butter.
I consider it.
Fuck yeah. All right, so the next one you said, which is that one's just creepy.
Electric player?
Kink shaming.
I'm not kink shaming. I just don't get it. I've been stabbed before, though. Like, I didn't get
There's a lot of context. It's all about context. Like all the things that I've seen, these are consenting adults. I have seen a woman have 100 tacks put in her chest and stepped on because she gets off on pain. So when you get to a certain point, think about it. Someone who's been in the scene for 5 to 6 years, okay, they've tested all different limits of pain. Eventually, you're going to have to up the ante to get off on something new because otherwise it gets boring. So I've seen some shit. Like, and I always recommend, like, if anyone's planning on going, first of all, here in Houston, Dallas, and Austin are three of the biggest kink communities in the country. And if anyone is ever considering going to something like that, first of all, they're not going to let you just go to a party. You've got to go to a munch or a slosh, which is either a munch is like a restaurant meetup with fellow kinksters. A slosh is a meetup at a bar with fellow kinksters where they vet you. You've got to go to 2 to 3 of those, and the whole group has to decide that you get an invite to be able to go to these things. So like, you don't just get to waltz up and be like,
I was wondering about that because there's no way I would handle it with maturity. I would definitely be the guy that was like in the corner giggling, making inappropriate faces, like just fucking laughing the whole time, and also scared for my life.
Well, even, I mean, you're very vanilla.
First off, you are vanilla. No.
I have done so many podcasts with you. We have talked about sex so many times. Like, you're level of 1 to 10, 10 being about the shit that she's talking about, probably like a 7 being the shit that I like, you're probably about a 2.
You can go fuck yourself. That is not the case. I just don't put mine out there. If I put mine out there, you think guys are thirsty? The women that like me, they're already fucking over the top as it is.
I've seen it.
Yeah. They're over the top with it. So if I'm like, hey, you know, I like face fucking or whatever, the first thing they're going to want to do is like, that's how they're going to introduce themselves to me. That's how they're going to be like, hey, by the way, whoa! Like, they're not going to want to go on a date. They're not going to want to get to know each other. They're going to automatically want me to brutally assault their face. And that's, in a way, it's sexy, but in the same way, it's like, I want a girlfriend.
You've got to be able to do that stuff with your girlfriend.
I want a boyfriend, too, but here's the thing. When you start dating a kinkster, like a genuine kinkster, you don't go vanilla again. So I have to be upfront. Because if I'm not up front and I get feels for you, and then we get to the hanky panky, and you're not bring,
You have to know.
And that sounds shallow, but you think about it. Date to waste time. Like, there's an end goal to dating. Yeah. So if I'm going to start something with you, I need to know that I can deal with your dick and your skills for the rest of my life. Otherwise, there's really no point in us.
That's why you, that's why you test drive cars before you buy them.
Of a relationship. Sex is very important, and you have to be able to connect. Like I'm not going to be with somebody who's vanilla because I don't get off on that. I don't like plain old sex. Like, I need someone who's going to spit in my mouth and pour hot wax on me.
Yeah,
like,
that's I draw the line.
To be happy for the rest of my life.
I could do the wax thing, the spitting in your mouth. I just can't get that one.
I don't like spit on my body, but I like for him to be like, and like, yes, daddy.
Okay, next. Electrode. Y'all
can't see the
oh, God. okay. The next one you said was electrocution?
Yeah, so electric play. So I have been cattle prodded. And it...
Hold on, you've been what now? Hold on.
Did you just say cattle fucking prodded? Cattle prodded?
Yes. But you can set different limits on it. Like, it's not the same necessarily a voltage of a straight up steer or a cow or anything like that. Like, it's, you can set the limitations.
I mean, it's like a dog collar, like a shock collar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, basically. Like, and people will use, I've seen people wear shock collars, but they've done pet play. That is something that people do.
Do you like pet play?
I had a friend of mine. What?
Do you like pet play?
No, not for me. Oh, yeah. Not my thing. Not my kink. But I did have a friend who was someone's pet, and her whole persona was like the whole kitten thing. And you see that a lot in like the anime scene too, like the whole like ears and all the things. And that was something that she would wear a shock collar, and they would go to sloshes. So like we'd meet up at bars with other kinksters, and he'd pass around the remote of the shock collar. So she would be like mid conversation and then just start seizing.
Once again,
but that was how their dynamic was set up.
I don't like that part of their contract. Like,
what?
I feel like if I was to be the one wearing the shock collar, I would want my man or my woman or whoever to be the only one handling.
Yeah, it depends on your dynamic. That's another big thing that people kind of overlook about that stuff is your contract. So when you, whether you're dominant, submissive, whatever your dynamic be, master, slave, blah, 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 pet owner, whatever, there's always a contract. So your hard limits and your soft limits are listed. The rules in which you're dominant and you agree to are written out, and it can be changed at any point in time. Your safe words are listed. All of that stuff is written down, and it is signed by both of you. Now, that can vary from person to person, but a healthy dynamic, you will have that in writing somewhere.
A lot of people get into an unhealthy dynamic, too. Like, they have, like, this idea of what dom and sub is in their mind, mm-hmm. and that's not, like...
No, and that's why
a lot of people get into a lot of unhealthy relationships like that.
I don't feel like I am mature enough for any of this, because while somebody is getting turned on by getting their getting shocked, I'm sitting there thinking about, I can't wait for this bitch to go take a shot, and then as soon as it's about to touch her lip, shock the fuck out of her when she spills all over, I'd be a child.
They laugh. I mean, they find humor in it, too. It's not always a sexual thing. That's what a lot of people forget, is that the BDSM community, the actual lifestyle, goes outside of the bedroom. It's a mental thing. It's a lifestyle.
Yeah, you're
thing.
In a,
I know,
it's kind of like you're in a relationship with that person. And as some people are in a relationship with that person. So you do humor with it, too. Like, it's not just all about sex. The relationship is not all about sex.
There needs to be a website for that, the comedy side of kink. That would be great. That'd be fucking fun. I just made $1 million.
Well, start it up.
I'm about to, and I'm gonna put a shot collar on your ass.
You are.
Just follow your stupid ass around.
Not my thing.
I'm gonna bring a cattle prod next time we do this, and I'm gonna pop the fuck out of you.
I do not recommend people jumping into cattle prods. Start with something like a violet wand, which has different ends on it. I've made the mistake of. I was wearing fishnet tights the very first time I used a violet wand, and people think that having something in between it is going to prevent, like, make it less shocky. Well, every time it breaks from the skin, you get shocked. So every time it was going over something, like one of the rivets on my fishnets, I was getting shocked. So you'll actually get shocked more often trying to wear something in between your skin and violet wand versus just applying it directly to your skin. But that's a good place to start. TENS kits is another one, which is like more muscle electrocution, but you put them on, like, for women at least, you put them on the very heightened part of your inner thighs. I've seen men put them on their ball sacks. I don't recommend that. You know, just have fun with it.
That sounds fucking thrilling. Nothing like shoving a extension cord up your asshole and jerking off at the same time.
I've seen a woman fuck with one, but she was also a severe sadomasochist. So, like, sadomasochist and masochist, by the way, masochist is someone who receives pain, and sadomasochist is someone who receives, likes giving and receiving pain.
Oh, yeah. That's
I'm learning so many new things.
I'm so fucking scared for you right now, because you're not going to do any of this right.
Well, who said I was even going to do anything?
I'm not saying you are, but if you are, you're definitely going to get fucked up doing it.
No, I'm about to get on some Google.
She needs to get on some Google.
Oh, yeah, we'll see. Next time she comes in here, she's going to be completely fucking black and blue. Look like she just fell off a fucking generator.
People get off on that.
Cody can't wait to hear this.
For instance, me.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
Cody's going to want to hear all this. Cody's going to want to do all this.
For instance, like, when just because you brought up black and blue, that if you're a heavy impact bottom, which I am, impact play is things like paddles, floggers, I have a whole closet. But anyway, all that kind of stuff.
Did you say a whole closet?
Field trip. Let's go see her.
I can't. I'll unplug my mic.
See if it messes it up.
We're migrating. Okay. But impact play is something of that nature. So anything that makes contact with the skin in an abrasive manner, everyone bruises differently. Some people prefer the bruising because that's like if you're sitting down and you have bruising, it reminds you of said incident of how you got said bruising. So that appeals to some people. So, like, this is my whole kinkster closet. I got, like, a whole thing
on
here.
The fuck are those heels? That is not what I thought it was.
What?
No. There was, like, the way the heel was positioned. Like,
Oh, no. I just, all my corsets are in here. All these are in here.
Is that a horse
car? These are for, like, rough body play.
That was a vibrator.
They're brass knuckles.
Why do you have brass?
But they have like meat tenderizers on the back of them. So those are really good for rough body
those
play.
Those interesting.
They leave really cool bruises. The markings. You got your regular.
I know where that goes.
Plugs.
See, I'm not that vanilla.
Play collars. Play collars and dominant collars are two totally different things. I'll explain those in a minute. This is my favorite flogger that I own. This one on a bunch of fences, cuffs, props. All sorts and all. It would take me forever to go through all this shit. But yeah, regardless. Shit. Yeah, that's my kinkster closet.
So have you ever done anything that you got paid for?
No.
Okay. I'm not trying to call you like a prostitute or anything, but I just know that some men, it's hard to find women who are all into that stuff. So some men will play a pretty penny for that.
Right. No. So I actually mentored when I was still in my switch phase. I mentored underneath a pro dom A. She travels the country and does all sorts of like educational conventions. There are conventions on the lifestyle too. There's huge ones in California. There's South, which is Southeast Leather Fest, which is the leather community is a whole separate subsection of the kink community. But she travels and does like talks and classes and shit. And so I mentored underneath her. She did get paid to do her pro dom A work. She would make anywhere once she's been doing this now for 25 years. And now she makes anywhere between $3,000 to $10,000 a session. And her sessions range from 1 hour to 3 hours.
I'm going to start beating the fuck out of dudes.
Pay for it.
So here's the thing. A lot of people seem to think, I totally understand why. A lot of people tend to associate, you know, BDSM with just sex, and she doesn't sleep with her clients. The reason why, and it's not just like me saying that to like save her reputation. That's not it. Undercover cops are very familiar with this type of work. And if she was to unknowingly have a client that came in and she was to do sexual activity with this client, then that's considered prostitution. She can be arrested.
Yeah, okay.
So that's a lot of people have that misconstrued view of pro dom A work. So she literally gets paid $3,000 to $10,000, if not more than that, depending on what she's being asked to do
to not even have sex.
Just humiliate her clients. Yeah. Like she doesn't sleep with them.
That. Yeah, there's men out there that like that. They don't even get off on that. They don't even have to have physical contact. They get off on being dominated like that.
And that's not even going into the concept of not paying $10,000 to get fucking humiliated.
You think about it though, if you've got a high priority client, that's a judge, that's a doctor that needs that discretion, they'll pay for that discretion. So a lot of people that are high up like that, like judges and stuff,
they're usually the ones doing the humiliating. So they have a kink that they want to be the one that is humiliated.
That's not even getting into the aspect of findoms, which are financial dominants that literally get paid to tell people how to spend their money.
Yeah, see, I'm good with this one. Ooh. I've watched I've watched some shit on this one. I'm completely fine with it. How fucking there's people out there to get off on saying, or the dom or whatever they would be like, hey, give me fucking $50,000 right now, you little bitch. And they're like, okay. And how the fuck I get into that one? Because I will talk shit all goddamn day if you give me $50,000.
Now, granted, there are limits based on each client. They do go into that. So, like, you can't just be like, give me $100,000. But they live very minimalistically. There's actually a very big percentage of the submissive side of that community that are usually married men. And mentally, from what I have learned from my mentor, comes from the concept that they're really tired of their wives going and spending money without talking to them. So they decide to go to a different female, but they are consenting to her telling them what to do. So they feel like they're regaining control that they've lost in their marriages, if that makes sense. And it's like a psychological therapeutic thing for them.
It makes no
sense. It's a really hard field to get into.
It makes no sense to me. It makes absolutely no sense to me. Of all the kink shaming, and I don't kink shame, everybody takes their own, but if I'm going to shame one, it's going to be that one. If you don't know what to do with your money, fucking hit me up, guy. We can invest.
Yeah, give it to me.
Yeah, like, we'll
have a conversation.
Yeah, fuck yeah. Don't just do it like that. That's weird.
Yeah, well, it works for some people. But yeah, no, I personally have never made money from it. I actually have been thinking about starting educational classes, but from my experience, my first experiences in the scene, I would be really pissed if someone tried to charge me for the safety precautions that I needed to know. So, you know, I've thought about that. I probably will not go that route. But there are tons of ways, not even just the sexual side. There's
Girl,
vendors.
You could do that on OnlyFans. Like, you could do just your classes on OnlyFans. You don't OnlyFans is for literally everything.
Like, this is true.
You would do good. And look, you don't even have to post anything naked. You just put on your corsets and your outfits and hold your floggers and shit. These people are paying for that. This girl has a gold mine that she's sitting on, and she's not doing anything with it.
It's called morals.
I got morals. I got morals. TikTok yesterday that was like,
you have chose money over morals,
girls,
madam.
Will be like, I'll never have OnlyFans. Oh, but you're sending news to men for free? And you don't think they're showing their homeboys? You have OnlyFans.
Most of
you
us don't show our homies. I don't share. If somebody sends me nudes, I don't share my buddies.
Oh, that's...
I feel like if they send them to Josh, though, I feel like at that point, like,
you should already
you're
assume.
Asking. No, but I don't show anything that people don't.
No,
ask
and
me
I get
to,
that. Yeah. I'm just saying, like, if depending on how you know him, like, you know, he's kind of a wild dude. So I don't really. I'm not saying that you should just. No woman should ever just assume that her nudes are going to be shared. But it's kind of like you got to have common knowledge of where things are going. You know,
That's like when me and you started hanging out. You showed me some stuff that was on your OnlyFans. I've never sent it to any of my friends.
Oh.
See, I'm a nice guy. I don't.
He's
share.
A good guy.
I don't share.
I mean, tell them that you gotta. Tell them they gotta subscribe.
Bitch, that's
what
I do.
Make the money.
That's what I do.
She's like, be my marketing tool.
When I first started OnlyFans, I only posted lingerie pictures, and even then, I was making $10,000 a month.
But
just
you,
in lingerie pictures.
But you had 800,000 people on TikTok. Not everybody.
Yeah,
has
and that's what I try to tell people. Like, you're not going to have.
It's not fast money.
Yeah, no. You have to have a platform. And, I mean, it's fast money for me because I didn't make OnlyFans until I had like 800,000. And people were asking me every day, do you have OnlyFans? Do you have OnlyFans? And I'm like, nope, I'll never get one. Well.
Do you take your own pictures?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I would recommend something to you. This is totally sidetracked from that. Just a quick little tidbit. Look up TFP modeling pages in your area, which are time for print. That's how I get all of my high quality content from my social media pages. It's basically professional photographers that
are wanting
to expand their portfolios.
I was thinking about getting some professional pictures made.
And you can charge a lot more because it's high quality. Yeah. I'm one of my best friends, Ryan. He does OnlyFans content for them. Like, a lot of them are really professional. You got to be careful with some of the creeps, but a lot of them are like, I'm here to do business. They're not going to be hitting on you or nothing. And he does it for a ton of different ladies and lingerie shoots and boudoir shoots and all that kind of stuff. So
this is why I couldn't be a photographer.
I'll get a whole videographer. And somebody can video me fucking.
I know you don't care.
I don't give a fuck.
I know. Trust me.
There's little clips on there. There is a 5-second clip of me getting fucked from behind on there, and people paid me thousands, hundreds, and then thousands of dollars for the rest of the clip. And it's just like a minute clip.
I hate
you. Don't even see my face. You
I
just see the back of me. And I don't have an ass, so it's not like
you
it was
don't.
Jiggling, really.
You don't. I don't know what they
but
paid
these people
for.
Pay, somebody paid $1,800 for underwear, and I don't even wear underwear. So I just wore them guys for a day and then sent them on their way.
Once again, I don't think I'm wild, but I don't think I'm vanilla. But I don't understand some of the things. Like the
you're cinnamon. You're like a cinnamon spice.
Just a little spice.
That's also just how I like my women.
Just a sprinkle.
Less.
Cinnamon. But no, what was the next one you mentioned after?
Sensation play. I mentioned a few. Sensation play is honestly like, okay, Josh, I think you probably enjoy something like sensation play.
I'm here for it. Let's do it.
Which is basically just utilizing your senses. Okay. So if you're blindfolded, if someone's running their fingernails down their down your back, smell, taste, anything that's using your physical senses is considered sensation play. Splashing tends to like fall into this category.
Hold on,
for
what
some
does that
people.
Mean?
Yeah, I don't know what splashing what is.
So splashing is basically there are women on the interwebs and in person that get paid hundreds, if not thousands of dollars to basically sexually interact with food. So like, let's say you got a birthday cake and a girl sits on a birthday cake naked. Like there are people paying hundreds of dollars to see women do that.
Why haven't you done this?
I have done that. I've had people ask me to play with food.
Mm-hmm. That's considered splashing.
I feel like that could be your whole
and
page.
I did it. Yeah. I ain't ashamed.
Can I give you a cake?
I ain't ashamed.
A cake-shul.
A cake-shul.
It's like a facial with cake.
As long as it's white and it looks like cum, they might like it.
Oh, God. Oh, we'll get cookies.
Yeah. Some icing.
We'll do some cookies and cream.
Oh.
Or cookie dough. That's cookie dough is probably too thick.
That's too thick.
Okay, anyway, so it's people.
You gotta be careful with that, though, because sugar and the vagine does not mix.
Oh, yeah. See, I'm not putting anything.
That's a yeast infection.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not doing that. I can't do anything like up my vagina that is like a liquid form or like any kind. Like, I'll put something
solid
up there.
That's why, like, when all these couples be out here using whipped cream and then like a week later she's pissed off, that's why. You don't want to put that anywhere near your vaginal region.
Mm-mm.
Oh, God. This is.
It's too sticky anyway. Whipped cream's too sticky. I don't like the mess.
The senses thing. I could probably get into the senses thing.
Yeah, sensation's really common for people to start. Wax play ties into that too, which when I say this, do not go to the store and buy a candle. Like, that will burn your skin. It's not smart. There are specific types of waxes and sex candles that burn at certain heat points, and you can kind of decide where you want to be at with your partner. The ones that I have, you like put on a stove, you put a pot of water, boil the water, it melts the wax. That's how you're supposed to go about it. But it's a lot of fun, actually. You can get different colors. You can kind of have a blast with it. Wax play is definitely something that I recommend to couples that are kind of wanting to, or anybody that kind of just wants to dabble outside the norm. It can be a lot of fun.
I have a very embarrassing story now.
For you?
Yeah, I have a very embarrassing story now because you just made something make sense.
Okay.
So
you did it one time.
I did it one time.
Ah!
And this girl was all, she wasn't really into it, but she was like, hey, I want to try some new things. My friend really likes this. So it was like her friend liked wax play. She thought it was hot. So then she wanted to try it. She brought her Yankee candles to the house.
No, honey.
And I remember, I was like, oh, this smells good. This is a good idea. Things going hot and heavy. And then she dumped it on my thigh, and I tried to be tough about it.
Oh, on yours?
Yeah, like she.
See, I've never done it on someone else.
That's third-degree
burns.
Yeah,
you're supposed to trickle it.
I still have a mark.
Yeah.
You're supposed to just dump it on there.
But then it was like she did that. And then I tried to be tough because she was hot as fuck. And I was like, I really want to get it in.
You should have done it back to her.
I did.
Okay.
But she wasn't as tough as me.
I bet.
So, like, I'm sitting there and I got my fucking legs, like, bubbling up. It hurts real bad. And then I'm behind her. And
Please do your research first, guys.
She was like,
for anyone listening.
And I just, like, fucking dumped it.
Like, oh my God.
You're not supposed to dump it. You're supposed to like slowly and sensually.
You're supposed to drizzle.
Like,
drizzle.
Like chocolate.
No,
like.
I treated like mild sauce from Taco Bell. Like,
Oh my God.
I just fucking dumped that shit.
Oh.
Like, I thought.
Bless both of y'all's hearts.
Yeah, but I finished. So that's all that matters in the story. We both hurt and didn't speak to each other again. But
I wouldn't talk to you either.
Yeah,
well, I wouldn't talk to Muzz for my lawyer.
We couldn't look each other in the face anymore because we both realized how stupid we were.
Yeah, no, y'all got to do your research. That's what a lot of people do, like with the choking thing too, which is actually pretty basic. If you crush certain parts of someone's windpipe, they will die. So I always recommend blood choking, which is right up by, like right where your jawline is. Yeah. You're going to squeeze right there. And what that's going to do is, it sounds a lot. It is a lot. So be mindful when you're doing it. It basically slows the blood circulation to your brain and it gives you like a happy high, like you're going to pass out, let go before they pass out. And that rush back to their brain is like the most orgasmic feeling ever. It's amazeballs. But
I agree.
Try to stay away from the windpipe.
But a lot of men will just like shove their hand on there. Like,
No.
Eh, like,
yeah. That one
sides
I know
of the
how
throat,
to do.
Baby. Sides of the throat.
That one I know how to do. I had to look that one up because I'm very strong like bull. And this girl that I dated who was a stripper, she was what do you call it? What's the person at the front door?
At a escort?
No, she wasn't an escort. That is hostess.
A hostess?
Hostess. She was the hostess. And she had some issues. Like, you could tell, like, she just had some
issues. What do you mean, some issues?
Like, she was just always weird, but she was extremely attractive. And she, like, wanted.
That seems to be your type.
Oh, I love toxic women. I love extremely.
Literally.
Just weird.
Toxic with a capital T.
I fucking love it. I told somebody who was on the podcast with. Oh, Gabrielle Stone. By the way, you two got to look up Gabrielle Stone. I was just on her show.
That's the podcast girl.
Yeah.
Right?
That, well, she's got a best-selling book too. It's called Eat, Pray, Fuck My Life. She's a best-selling author, and I just did her show this week. But anyway, I was telling her like this yesterday. I just lost train of thought because I was talking about her. Fuck, I don't remember. Oh, until you fuck a toxic girl, you haven't had good sex.
Agreed.
And like I was telling her, it's like people knock me for wanting to go after these women that
it's
are fucked
these daddy
up.
Issues, baby.
I love the ones with daddy issues though. Until you had some pussy that was emotionally left behind, it like.
But you don't like to be called daddy.
I don't like to be called daddy all the time.
World.
Well, it's different though because you have a little girl.
Yeah,
so that
I like sir.
It registers.
I like weird. I like sir or poppy. Poppy's fucking where it's at. No. But it's weird.
Oh,
when,
poppy. No, I
I'm telling. No, no, no.
That you, sounds like a. I think of like an old Mexican man just like
you
sitting
cannot,
in the corner.
You cannot be white and say it. It's usually the girls that have like some kind of accent or they're not completely Caucasian. Like when
not completely Caucasian.
Yeah, when they do it,
He talk about you.
I know. Kate knows. I'd probably let her fucking prod me with a cattle prod. Like I'm fucking
careful. I will.
I'm fucking down for this over here. I obviously know now that we're better off as friends. Because
I would literally want to see all of it. I'm just gonna be one of those people in the side with like a little masquerade mask on, just lay back,
I'm just chilling. No. That's a thing. Those are things that happen every year.
The whole time, her talking shit about me.
I know.
Like really, you fucking.
I would want
shit.
Her to be the.
But that's okay. I also
I would
just
want
wanna...
her to degrade the fuck out of you.
I'd be out of there. My dick would not get excited. The first time she's like, oh, look at that cute little pecker. Oh, what you going to do with that baby boy?
I'd you don't like, talk to like it's a puppy. Well, it's not like that. You just talk about how small it is and how underwhelming
yeah,
it is.
Yeah, because nothing,
oh, they're
nothing
into that
turns
my
me
OnlyFans,
on more than you telling me how small my dick
yeah,
is.
Yeah, my OnlyFans, people will, they want dick rates. So, and like one guy even sent me a picture of his dick and he wanted a video of me taking my toy and comparing it and talking about how small his fucking dick was and how I would never fuck his dick and I only want my toy and like yeah they love
and
it.
This does not just go for like men FYI like for those of y'all thinking like this is a two-way street for different
absolutely.
genders, and to anyone that also has maybe a partner that you know, they're wanting to try these things and maybe it's not your thing. Like, don't be intimidated by it. Like, I know it's a lot, like everything that I've said, I'm telling you the extremes of the scene right now. Like, have you all seen the people that do the suspension hooks from their skin?
Oh, God yes. damn, yes.
Yeah, so like those are the extremes. So
I mean,
like there
I
is a happy pain. Middle ground to this stuff. And don't be, if someone says I'm kinky, first of all, being kinky and being a kinkster are two different things. But in all reality, if someone says that they're into this kind of stuff, talk to them about it. Don't be intimidated by it. If it's not for you, that's cool. And if you want to figure out how much of a kinky person you are, you actually can physically take a test at BDSMtest.org. Take the long version.
Take the long version.
Hold on a second. BDSM.net, guys.
No, BDSMtest.org.
Okay, hold on. We're going to take a test.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Take the long version.
Do me.
And it will give you their percentages, like if you're Primal Prey, if you're DDLG, if you're a voyeur, all that kind of stuff.
Okay, so tell us a bad story. Like, tell us something.
Okay, so I'll tell you my very first time ever at a sex dungeon. Okay. I've got a ton of these, actually.
Explain about a sex dungeon first.
Hold on. It makes you pinky promise.
I promise I'm not a robot. It does.
Tell us about a sex dungeon, what exactly that is, what happens there. Tell us stuff like that.
So a sex dungeon, first of all, they will not look like sex dungeons out the gate. The sex dungeon that was right down the road for me actually doubled as a incense and gemstone hippie type store. The back of the store was the sex dungeon. They have to do this for legal purposes. It's not something, so you're not just going to walk in and be like, I found one. Like, that's not how that's about to go.
I was actually invited by a friend of mine
who is no longer a friend of mine.
Hold on for you to tell a story. How long is the long test?
It's pretty long.
Okay, we're just going to do a short one. That's fine.
Yeah, you can do the short one for now, but you'll get the gist of it. But for anyone wanting to know super accurate results, take the long version. And make sure that you answer questions for both dominant and submissive.
I'm not submissive.
Just do it.
I'm not.
You will be shocked.
I'm telling you.
Just do it.
I can't know. I'm telling you.
I need to be the one taking this test.
I was gonna read the questions, but let's let her tell her story.
Well, let's let her tell a story, and then we'll do
That's
it.
That's what we're doing, dude.
So anyway, I was invited by a friend to this place, and he vetted me. So usually, if you're being brought by referral, depending on the person that's referring you, they may let you slide and get in, but usually, see what I did there. But either way, usually you got to go to two or three different munches or sloshes before you can actually be allowed entry. But they let me in, he was well known and whatever. At the time, I did not know how well versed he was in the scene. This is my first encounter in like with someone else in terms of kink in general.
How old were you?
I was 19 at this point. Okay. So up to now, I had just done research. I'd been on FET, but I'd never really done anything specifically in the scene. I proceeded to bend over a spanking bench, and he whipped me with a dragon's tail. If y'all know what a bullwhip looks like, imagine a very skinny, small version of that with three of the bullwhip endings going off the end of it. Okay, so that same cracking sound, you hear that same thing, but there's three of them instead of one little flaily tail thing at the end. If you don't know your limits, this is not something to start with. I highly recommend do not start with the dragon's tail. He cut me open in three slashes of that.
Oh my God,
babe. I was terrified. I cried in the corner. It was awful. Now, luckily, I was at a great dungeon. The manager that was on site that night, she came over, made sure I was okay, gave me blankets. They got me all bandaged up. Like, I was fine. She was like, I'm so sorry. This was your first experience. Like, that is not how that's supposed to go. We just assumed y'all knew each other, so it was good. Huh?
Did you say manager?
Yeah.
Well, hold up.
So there is a set staff that works at these things. There's someone that heads the floor that night. And then they have employees and they go around and basically make sure that people are safe and they're not getting raped. I mean, like, that's their job. Their job is to go around and make sure everything's clean, make sure that no one's having a mental breakdown, making sure that everything is being done consensually, that safe words are being honored. Like, if y'all have not watched the show Bonding on Netflix, you need to go watch it. That will pretty much break down what you need to know.
Now I just have in my head, though, like, there's this waitress is walking around like, hey, excuse me, sir, have you tried the strawberry lube yet? Can I assist you?
No, but they will ask you sometime if you want a warm towel.
If you want a warm towel.
Yeah. Like, do you want a warm towel? Do you need anything? Do you need a blanket? Do you need water to stay hydrated? Like they do. But they won't interrupt a scene. Like they won't, unless they see that something bad is happening, they won't interrupt a scene because of things like subspace, and it can really fuck with people's mental state during a scene.
And then Karen, the manager, has to come over there and get on to you.
Yeah. She'll cater to you and make sure that you're okay. And it honestly though, like if she hadn't, I probably would have never gone back to a sex dungeon. Like it was a traumatizing experience for me. But keep in mind, like I said, I walked into this building. We did not have any type of pickup play is something that you do with, like, if you see someone that you're attracted to at a sex dungeon, you see that they're good at something, you can go up to them and ask them, hey, I see that you have great technique with that. Is that something that you'd want to do with me? That's considered pickup play. Anytime you do pick up play with someone, they need to literally go through, okay, what are your hard limits? What are your soft limits? These are the toys that I have. What are toys that you do not want me to use on you? What are your safe words? Like all of that has to be discussed. None of that was discussed before this team. I literally just bent over and he went to town and it was terrible and I was not okay. And that same night is when I met my mentors, which I didn't know who they were going to be my mentors, which was a poly couple. If you don't know what polyamory is,
I have not.
It's a couple that has others involved.
Swingers.
So, huh?
Swingers.
No. They're very different things.
They're like swingers are in a relationship, but they fuck other people. But polyamorous is there. It's like, let's just, for example, one guy who's dating 2, 3, 4 women at one time.
I thought, yep. I usually get in trouble for that.
And it can be vice versa.
Yeah.
It can be vice versa. So like, for instance, this particular couple, they had a third, we'll call her Sprinkles. She was amazing and I loved her. They all lived together. And then he had a manic season during summertime, which is basically they would just have 4 to 5 women that would just come in and have sex with all three of them.
So how do I become polyamorous or whatever the fuck it's called?
Polyamorous? It's a lot. First of all, I want to disclose, it sounds great. Imagine dating a woman, right? Imagine how stressful that is.
Yeah,
now
remember.
Imagine dating three of those, being considerate of their feelings, making sure
you
they're heard.
Keep all of
it's
them happy.
It's a task.
You just fucked the whole dream up.
Yeah. Yep, as soon, I know.
As soon as you put it into that context where I had to make 4 women happy at one time emotionally,
yeah.
Physically, I would just exhaust myself doing it.
I was about to say, I don't know if you can keep up.
No, but mentally, fuck that. I didn't realize you had to emotionally make them happy.
And that's what a lot of people don't know about it is they think, oh, you're afraid of commitment. No, you're literally committing to 3 to 4 different people at the same time.
No, fuck that.
A huge task.
No.
But they lived together. They had been poly when I met them for about 10 years. And it was a dominant submissive. He was dominant. And his primary, which is what I say primary,
it's
guy and a girl
bitch.
Date.
Bottom
primary bit. Couple, yeah. Everyone else after that is a secondary, so on and so forth. Most of the time though, they're all kind of viewed as equals, but in terms of hierarchy, I guess, of who says what goes. And it can shift depending on the dynamics too. Not all dynamics are like that. So they've been together for about 10 years. I lived with that couple for about 2 years. I did not partake in their little situation, but I did live with them for about 2 years. My first actual, he was not a real dominant. He was, I like to call him a salt dominant, like sugar daddy, but he's not real. He's a salt daddy. He was a salt dominant. Okay. That he did not know the fuck he was talking about. He was very much closet gay and was trying to suppress that part of his life. So he just wanted to act like a dominant, but he was not at all. So when I say that, I'm saying, if not to say that men cannot enjoy anal play, do what you got to do. Honestly, it increases your orgasm. So I don't judge you. A lot more men are into it than you think. But if I am fisting you every other day and then you want to turn around and tell me that you're going to dominate me and that you tell me what's what, probably not going to be a thing. Probably not. Just saying. So there's spectrums to it.
I didn't, oh God damn. It's the fisted.
Josh's face is like, how do I process
this? No, it's just how like nonchalant you was like, if I'm fisting you every other day, you can't dominate me.
It's not taboo. You have to think about this in this sense, okay?
Oh, sticking your whole arm up somebody's asshole isn't taboo?
When you've seen someone's asshole fucked with a baseball bat, yeah. Like out in the open in front of 30 other people, me doing that privately at my house is not taboo anymore. And that's what a lot of people don't understand is when you get into the lifestyle and you start going to sex dungeons and you do this stuff, it's like another Tuesday. Like things that are like, people are like, oh my gosh. I'm just like, yeah, I've been beat with a stop sign. That's crazy to some people, but I'm sitting here like, oh, that's Wednesday. Like it's cool. It's whatever. But it depends on your exposure to this kind of stuff. Eventually there's things that just don't bother you. I've seen a guy have his ball stepped on with a stiletto heel and ask for more. Like it's all about experience. That's all, you know.
Kate, I will always treasure our friendship, and I love you dearly and think you are beautiful. But now I know I'm putting myself in the friend zone here. You scare me.
And most people are. And that's why a lot of kinksters are actually kind of afraid to talk about it with people, because it comes off super intimidating. But what they also have to understand is me seeing these things does not mean that I'm into those things. Those are two very different things. So me being exposed to that kind of stuff, yeah. But I have a very set list of things that I am particularly into, and I don't judge other people for their other stuff. But no, I'm probably not going to let someone, you know. Okay. I have seen someone have their vagina sutured together. That's not something that sutured? I'm
going to do. Oh, yes. Hell no.
Like surgically sewn up. And left like that for about a week, and then the stitches cut later.
Was there a
crack? I would never
in it?
Do that. That is a hard limit for me.
Was there a crack in it?
No.
You didn't get that. They're trying to fix it because it was broken.
No, the lips. It was in the two lips sewn up.
That's, I know, dumbass. That's,
the lips.
It clearly went over. It was funny to me. I'll give a fuck if y'all laughed or not. It was broke.
Hold on. So what about, have you been in any serious relationships? Or no. Have you tried to be in a serious relationship with someone that is not in the kinkster community, and you told them about the things that you're into, and then they were like totally like, no, this is not for me. Okay.
Yes. It wasn't so much that they judged me. They were extremely intimidated. It completely, the confidence for him in that relationship just died. And it wasn't because of the fact that he didn't care about me or anything of that nature. It's just when you know that someone has seen stuff like that and has tried these types of things, and he knew that he wouldn't be able to do those types of things, he felt as if I was now the sexually superior in that relationship, and that hurt his ego astronomically. Yeah. And I get that. Like, everyone wants to be able to feel like they're the superstar for their partner sexually. You know, like, that's a totally normal feeling to have. But I always recommend, like I said before, if you are someone that wants to dabble in this with your partner, be open-minded. You might try something that you never thought that you would like and end up really enjoying it. And you don't have to go to the extremes of it either. You can find a happy middle ground for both of you. That I've seen people do it. I've seen it work for people. I also know, well, there are... You don't find this in the South very often, because most men from the South are very territorial, and that's why we love them. And, you know, they're strong. I own what I own, all the I get it. And, you know, whatever. They're very respectful of their women, but they don't like to share. But there are dynamics of men who understand they aren't going to be able to provide that for their woman, and will allow them to have said play partner. And that's all that they are. It's a sexual interaction. Also known, I kind of consider that to also be an open relationship. And that goes both ways. I've seen that with women as well, who, you know, they do not feel comfortable dominating their man because they feel like it ruins that image for them of them being a manly man. So they allow them to go off and have an hour or two a week with their
pro-dom. I'm not shared.
Yeah, I could not.
And that's the thing. I totally get that. I'm the same way. That's what I'm saying. Like, people don't understand the psychological damage this stuff can do if you don't go about it the right way. It's not something that's shared enough. And that's why I think 50 Shades of Grey and 365 D&I got so much backlash, is because bottom line was 365 D&I hot movie. Yes, but she got kidnapped. Like, that bottom
so
line,
much
she got
unrealistic.
Kidnapped.
What movie was
yes,
that?
Yes, it's that straight so up sexified Stockholm syndrome. Yeah. That's all that was. And the whole 50 Shades of Grey, okay, not all dominants are going to be millionaires that can do all the things and that force you to sign a contract. Like, no, that's not how that goes down at all.
They really glorified it with him having so much money and being so attractive. They really glorified. Yeah, I agree. I wasn't a fan. I mean, I'm a fan. Like, I enjoyed the movies. I enjoyed the books. But it was just unrealistic.
That movie is completely,
and that's what
different
a lot of people...
if his name is Leroy and lives in Alabama.
It's what?
That movie is completely different if his fucking name is Leroy and he lives in Alabama.
And he lives in a trailer. Yeah. Yes, yeah, exactly. Mean, I feel that. So that's kind of what my issue was with it. They didn't really, And that if there was a whole study done about Adam and Eve sales after that movie came out, and they skyrocketed right after that movie came out. But there was also a spike in police reports because people were dying of asphyxiation. They were like hanging their, like putting belts around each other's necks and all that kind of shit, not knowing what the fuck to do. And people got hurt. So it's definitely something you got to be careful with. And there are people that will also pray if you're new. It's not wrong to broadcast that you're new. Just know that you've now put a target on your back for someone who's masking themselves as a dom who's an abuser. And they will, signs of that will be like, I'm your dominant. I know more than you do about what's best for you. You don't need a safe word. People forget that submissives in dynamics have more power than the dominant in that situation.
Yeah, agreed.
If I say no, it's done, period. Yeah. There's no if, ands, or buts about it. We have a lot more control than most dominants in that situation. We're just willingly giving you our will.
And a true dominant will be like, okay, you said no, that's it. Whereas a toxic dominant will say, nope, I know what I'm talking about. I know we're going
to
do this.
You can say what you want to about my sex game, but at least you're not going to fucking die from it.
This is true.
You're not going to die.
Valid statement.
You might end up sticky, but you're not going to die.
One more question before we start this quiz. I want to know if your family knows about, like, I don't know what your family dynamic is with your parents or anything, but I'm interested to know what your family thinks about it, if they know about it, and what all do they, like, do they know the extent of it?
So my brother is fully aware. He's all about it. He's like, yes, sis, do all the things. He's
How old is he?
He is 28. He's flamboyantly gay, drag queen. He's all about all the things. He's like, yes, honey, do your. My dad knew. My dad passed, but my dad knew. And he was smart about it. He was just like, just don't get yourself hurt. Like, that's all I ask. Just don't get yourself hurt. My mom found out because I was wearing a sundress and I'd forgot that I had bruises on the lower half of like my upper thigh, like where that crease is. And it had spread and I didn't realize how much it had spread. And one of my teachers, and I didn't register it. Like I said, this is like the downside of it not being taboo to me. Cause like, I didn't register it as something was actually wrong, but she comes up to me and she's like, hey, like, is everything okay? And I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. Like totally good. She emailed my mom and was like, hey, so I saw that she had really significant bruises on her. She played it off like she was okay, but I'm really concerned about her. I don't know if she's dating anybody here, but like, I feel like you need to know. And this is when I was in college. My laptop's about to die. I got to plug this in really fast. But basically my mom calls me freaking out being like, are you getting beat? Like, do I need to come down there? What's going on? And like, I had to basically explain this to her because I guess my teacher when I was leaving had taken a picture of me when I was walking out the door so she could physically see the bruise. This wasn't like I could play it off like I don't know what she's talking. It's like she could see it. So I basically had to explain to her what I was into, and now my mom is very much don't ask, don't tell. She's like, I don't want to know, I don't care, I just, you are my baby and I don't want to know about it. So okay. Y'all talk to
yourself. Yeah, you plug that in. We're gonna do the quiz and then we're gonna call this one it for today and do it with you again. So let's start off here. You want to see your score at the end of it or mine?
Go back to the men. Change it to a female.
Okay, hold on. Let's see what yours is. If it's not long, we'll do mine too. Hold on. It froze up. Why the fuck did it freeze up? There you go. I have pinky promise. Hold on just a second because Kylie's going to end up being the score. Gender, bitch. I didn't have a listener for that, so I'll put female. How old are you?
I'm gonna do that.
Did that one. Are you strictly heterosexual? Strictly dickly?
Yeah.
You got lesbian tendencies?
I mean, I could be a pillow princess, but I just don't know if I could eat any pussy.
I love lesbians. I love them.
That's the best part.
Yes, it is. Short, simple. Yes. All right, so here, I'm gonna ask the questions, you answer them.
Okay.
Yeah, you answer them too, Kate. Let's just see how different you two are. But we're gonna get her score. I like to be dominated, especially in the bedroom. Red, absolutely disagree, absolutely agree.
Absolutely agree.
Okay.
Absolutely agree.
Both like to be dominant. I like receiving pain during sex, BDSM, and seeking the results of it. I'm seeing the results of it. Bruises, marks, makeup, running, my tears afterwards.
Do me like the next to biggest one.
Okay, next to last. Let me tell you. When a girl's giving you head and she's got the tears.
Well, that's what I like. I like to get sloppy top.
The makeup smear. Holy shit, sloppy top. I prefer making the sexual decisions for my partner as this gives me more control.
Disagree. Absolutely disagree.
Okay, no.
Yeah.
Okay.
I concur. Take it for you, though, because I want to see what your results are.
I'm going to. I'm going to do one, too. I like forcing my partner into submissive much more than submitting spontaneously.
No.
No.
Okay. Negative.
I would like to have sex with multiple people at the same time.
Negative.
That's why I like Kate. Me and Kate's going to find some pillow princesses together, and then we're going to beat the shit out of cattle prods. I enjoy it when people watch me being naked or having sex.
Put me on like the third right there. Never
you,
done it before.
You have
but
only
I've,
fans.
I've never done it before, though, but I would like it.
That's different, though.
Oh, yeah.
That's
yeah.
different. I only, someone watch you on a screen and someone being right there in the room jacking off in the corner.
When what I go was your live answer, on Kate? There, like, that's yeah. hot
okay.
to me.
Okay. I don't like...
Think of it like public sex. Like
I do like public sex. I don't like making sexual decisions. I prefer my partner to make them for me.
Absolutely agree.
Okay. Next. Okay. Oh, shit, there's a lot of these. I am willing to try anything once, even if I don't think I will like it.
Yes.
Yeah, put me on there.
Okay. Physically restraining my partner during sex with clothes, ropes, chains, etc. is arousing.
No, I don't like to do that to other people.
All right, so you don't like to do it to
yeah, okay. disagree.
Disagree. Kate, I'm telling you, I'm going to let Kate beat the fuck out of me. I like to be totally helpless with my... totally helpless at my partner's
agree.
Disposal. Okay. I have... I keep seeing Kate out the corner of my eyes fucking me up. I have a thing for large age differences and sexual encounters.
Disagree.
Disagree. I like playing or acting like a pet or animal.
Disagree.
Being treated.
He's on it. She's like, yes, no, yes.
Well, she's
no.
already answered. I'm just reading them. Being treated with little to no respect during sex arouses me.
Absolutely agree.
There is no reason why sex would have to happen in private places, isolation from the outside world. Why it should happen. Should
There's no reason why sex agree. Would have to happen. Yeah, agree.
Meaning, yeah, it doesn't have to happen just in the bedroom. Yeah.
Okay. I find the romantic aspect in relationships much more important than the sexual or kinky aspects.
I'm like in the middle.
She's like emotions.
Yeah.
I really love being in love, but God, I like dick.
I like it. It's in the middle for me.
Okay. I would Balance. Like to serve in formal settings with explicit slave training, prescribed physical positions, and rituals.
So think about that in the sense that, just so you understand what that means, someone decides what you wear, they decide when you eat, they like you, you're basically
I'm just
a servant
answer
to
this
them.
One for you cause you'll
fucking in the middle.
Hate it.
In the middle.
Yeah, right. Assuming I was single, I would like to join an existing couple or poly, whatever relationship for sexual
Disagree.
Or emotional. Okay. Being physically restrained during sex is arousing.
Absolutely.
You nasty bitches. I enjoy feeling like a prey hunted by a predator.
Yeah, middle.
Yes. I'm going to tell y'all a story about that.
Hang on, that one, I would like to be
I'm
the
gonna
predator.
I'm going to tell y'all a story about that one.
Damn, that's the first time I've ever said I'd like to be the predator. I don't have any sort of physical fetish or standing for... Okay. Being part of a group of slaves that serves one master sounds like, it'd be a really,
that's a harem.
That's a disagree.
Okay. Once again, you still won't be in charge. Yes, I would like to be completely tied up during sex.
Agree.
I know you would. I enjoy being kept as a pet in cages, eating out of bowls, being petted. We're going to say no for you.
That's a disagree. Big one.
Here, read some of them.
I love seeing the fear in my partner's eyes when they know I'm going to inflict pain on them. No, I don't know.
Okay.
I'm the submissive. I like to be sexually degraded and humiliated by my partner sometimes. Yeah, kind of. But like that one.
This one.
Yeah.
I enjoy playing a different age than when I am than I technically am.
No.
That's DDLG.
Yeah, that's we're switching it out. You go in and out with me.
I would like to be nothing but a 24/7 sex slave, not having any human interaction outside of sex. That's a disagree.
Oh, treating my partner with little or no respect during sex arouses me.
Disagree. I like to be treated like that. I like being forced into submission much more than submitting. Yeah, about like the third green one.
Okay. That's a brat tamer thing right there.
Yeah.
I would like it when my partner is completely tied up during sex.
No. I have plenty of sexual fantasies that I would like to try out more than most. Yeah, agree. I find it adorable when my partner acts or dresses childlike or when they engage in childlike. That's a disagree, baby.
That's fucked up.
That's a pedophilic thing to me.
It literally says... while they're like playing on coloring book or on a playground.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, it's DDLG. I'll get into that more later.
Holy fuck.
I could be sexually submissive now and be sexually dominant another time. No, I'm always submissive. Living in a group of slaves owned by me and serving me would be my ultimate life goal. Well,
I'm pretty sure there's an amendment against that.
I'm kind of with that. So put me on like the third green. Okay.
Yes, the boss.
It's no big deal when things I try turn out bad for me. It's part of the risk and the nest. Yeah, I absolutely agree.
Okay. This is too much.
This is a short version.
Oh, fuck. I don't want to do the long version.
We're already at 54%. I enjoy keeping my partner as a pet. No, disagree. If I could not fulfill all of my partner's sexual desires, I would encourage them to see other people. Yeah, agree.
You would tell everybody.
I can't do it, then I want them to be sexually happy.
You want them to be single too, though, bitch. I often behave in animalistic ways.
Disagree.
Yeah.
If part of my sexual desires are not fulfilled by my partner, I would want to see other people. Absolutely agree.
Because you're a whore.
I enjoy feeling like the predator hunting the prey. Disagree.
Honestly, I want to be the predator.
I like it when my partner takes on a nurturing and guiding, almost parental role in the relationship. Yeah.
You have so many issues.
I enjoy watching other people being naked or having sex. Absolutely.
I'd
like my partner to submit to me 24/7. I'm willing to take... No. I like my partner to be completely in charge in the bedroom, ordering me around. Absolutely. If I could make some money from selling porn clips of myself, I definitely would.
I'm just going to click on that one beforehand. I do. Being in fear of what my partner is going to do to me physically is arousing.
Agree.
I feel the need to serve my partner and treat them with the highest respect, addressing them as superiors.
Agree.
Taking back to one's dominant in a teasery, disorder, disobey.
Teasingly
disobey.
Talking
way.
Back to one's dominant in a teasingly disobeying way should be a partner. Agree. I enjoy verbally degrading my partner. No.
This is too small for me to read, Lias.
I enjoy it when my partner plays or acts like a pet. No. I like to completely be in charge in the bedroom and order my partner around. No. The idea of being tortured sexually is appealing. Yes. I would be willing to leave everything I have behind to live the BDSM life of my dreams. I mean, I got kids and shit. So like,
I feel like a recruiter is going to call you if you hit green.
I like inflicting pain during sex, BDSM, and seeing the results of it. No, I don't like doing it.
I could not be always dominant or always submissive. I need both.
No. I like to dominate my partner. No. Well, I do like to dominate.
Oh, you done fucked up now.
I know. I like to sexually degrade, humiliate my partner. No. I will naturally take on a nurturing and guiding, almost parental role in a relationship. No. The idea of torturing someone sexually is appealing. No. I like to submit to my partner 24/7. Yup. I want my partner to serve me and address me as superior. No. I enjoy dressing or behaving like a child.
No.
I enjoy being verbally degraded or being caught. Yeah.
Good. Dirty little Two slut. More. Fuck.
I want to meet more like-minded kinky people. Yes.
If a new also, what is that?
We plan to launch a BDSM theme match dating website. Okay.
Oh, they got kink. Okay. Website. Fuck yeah. We need to get
if
to
a
sign
new
this bitch
awesome
up.
Kink or BDS was launched, I would like to be kept up to date. Yes.
That's how they get you.
Yeah, my email and stuff.
Okay, let's see what you got. Okay. She's a rope bunny?
100% rope bunny. 100% submissive. 95% voyeur.
Voyager.
It means you like people to see you or like to do things publicly.
Okay. 94% brat. 91% masochist. Hold on, how do you say that?
Masochist.
Okay, 90% experimentalist.
Experimentalist?
Yes. Yep. 81% degradee, 71% exhibitionist.
Exhibitionist,
thank you.
I'm glad you can't read either.
64% slave, 57% monogamous.
Monogamous. Yeah, she don't even know how to say the fucking
Shut
word.
Shut the fuck up. 23% primal, 22% vanilla, excuse me?
Does it say primal? Does it say primal as to which one
prey.
You are?
Primal, yeah, parentheses, prey. 21% master / mistress, 19% pet, and I have
and 100% whore.
0% all the way for the rest of them.
Okay, okay. Well, you talk. Tell some of these stories real fast. I'm going to take it.
Yeah, tell us.
I'm going to take it.
So the one that came up with Primal, I'm a Primal Prey all the way. We had something in North Carolina called The Hunt, which was basically a 300 to 400 acre farm. And kingsters would come out to this farm, and you had Primal Prey and you had Primal Predator. So Primal Prey would basically go out in the woods and like butt ass naked. And then you got Primal Predators that go and hunt said prey with paintball guns. And if you get shot and you get caught, you have a list of things that you consent to. And you can say, if the person that catches you, you're not comfortable with, you can say no, but everyone pretty much knows everybody. So if you get caught, they tie you to a post and they can do anything to you on that consented list for however long they want to.
That sounds kind of hot.
I thought Abraham Lincoln made that illegal.
That, okay, so I will say that is, it was actually a big controversy for a long time that people had issues with it for that reason. But it was also one of those things where it's like, again, these are consenting adults. If you don't want to be here, don't come. It's that simple. I've gone. I had a blast. So
that sounds very fun. That sounds like something.
It is. It's a lot of fucking fun. And then you just camp out after. Like, once the day ends and it gets dark, they have bonfires and chicks dance around the bonfires naked and you make food. And
after we play the 1800s, we're going to take naps.
I don't know. It seems like something I would really want to
do. I'll keep going because I'm taking this.
I know.
And then I will kind of explain the DDLG. So DDLG is Daddy Dom, Little Girl. It can also be Mommy Dom, Little Boy. And basically what it is people that really didn't have a childhood, maybe they had a traumatic childhood, they age regress. So and there's different spectrums of it. There's like, and there's conventions for this too. CapCon is the convention for DDLG specifically. But basically it's like, you'll see a 50-year-old man in a diaper acting like a 4-year-old.
Fucking stupid.
I mean,
being led around by a grown ass woman who he views in a mother like
nature. I was about to say, so something like that I could do, but I mean, I guess I get the daddy daughter. Like, there was a girl that I worked with that her man was like, come sit on my lap and I got you a coloring book and some crayons. And to me, that's just like, but I have kids too. So to me, that's just like some creepy, like, I would wonder if he had a
fetish for children. Yeah. It's definitely an extremely controversial.
And it could be where people, and this is healthy if they do this, where people who do have a fetish for small children are not actually going after small children and are meeting their needs and their fetish in that way with other women who are going to act like a small child instead of going children.
There's definitely spectrums to it. So there's like littles and then there's middles. Littles is usually ages from like, you regress to ages of like 10 and lower. And then there's middles who are like bratty teenagers, but also really like Disney and stuffies and all that kind of stuff. They'll wear like the little frilly dresses and like the socks have a little frilly. But it's different. One, it's really different when you have kids.
Yeah.
Secondly, it's something that unless it's your kink, you really don't, a lot of people don't understand. It's a very common thing that a lot of people don't understand.
I'm not kink shaming in no way.
Right.
Like, that's just not for me. That is not, that gives me bad vibes.
But I feel you.
Yeah, but at the same totally time, I could totally, like if a guy has a thing for small children and he is using that as like an outlet instead of actually going after small children, I'm with it, baby. You do whatever you want to do. Color with them coloring books. I don't give a fuck. Sit on his lap. I don't care. But it's just, I have children, which I feel like even if I didn't have kids, I'd still feel the same way. I just get those creepy vibes.
Right.
But it is fucked up and it's stereotypical of me because when I think of a woman doing that to like wanting as a son thing, I don't think as much of it. But to think of a man wanting a woman to sit on his lap and act like a child, that's pedophilic shit.
A lot of
women can be pedophiles too. So I know. You know,
yeah, well, I mean, but a lot of them, they'll also use it as like aftercare, which is something I didn't talk about. That's really, really important. Obviously, a lot of stuff we talked about today are the extremes of things, but aftercare for this stuff, the stuff
I was about
that
to say, please talk about aftercare because if your Dom doesn't take care of you after and lotion you up and take care of your bruises and your marks or your lacerations or whatever, because they should definitely be taking care of you. Yeah. after the fact. Yes, I agree.
There should never be a point that you just went through a 2-hour impact session of being beat and degraded and all this shit, and you don't know instantaneously after that you were loved, you were cared about, that you were going to be okay. Like, that is so, so important. So if that is not happening, you are not in a dynamic, you have an abuser.
Yeah. Period. And another thing too, like, he should not be ugly and degrading to you all of the time. Or
correct.
he or she, if they're your dominant and they are just always talking to you like trash or treating you horrible, that's unhealthy. And once again, you have an abuser.
Yep.
Like, you should be able, you should feel loved and cared about and not always called daddy's little slut.
Yeah. If you guys, I don't know, where are you guys at again?
Georgia.
Okay. Y'all have to come out here one of these.
We're actually going on a road trip.
Yeah, we're going on a road trip and I want to go to Texas. I've never been to Texas.
So Ren Faire, which is the Renaissance Festival, has an extremely large kink presence. A lot of people don't see it. You'll see a lot of people wearing collars, saying like as in their owned and things like that, which, by the way, for those of you who don't know, who aren't familiar, collars in the BDSM community are basically like wedding rings in our normal lives. You don't really see them on a whim. You might see play collars a little bit more often. I've got 2 play collars in my closet. Those are used in scenes only, and it's for a headspace. It does not mean that I belong to that person, but normal, regular ownership collars, usually submissives cannot take off. There's physically no way for them to take them off on their own. And it is a huge sign of commitment. But the Texas Ren Faire has a huge kink presence where, like, they just be selling floggers and shops and things and all stuff. It's subtle, but it's very well-placed subtleism. So I would love for y'all to come out to that. I think you guys would have a fucking blast.
We have a Renaissance Fair here. I've never been. I've always wanted to go.
I don't think the Renaissance Fair here is like that.
You don't know that.
I'm pretty fucking
sure. You don't
sure
know
that. The Renaissance Fair, it's not like
that. I'm about to be looking for a collar on everybody. I'm going to be like, oh. You got it.
They're usually silver and metal. Sometimes, you know, people do different things. They'll do like a chain with a lock, or some people even do a bracelet, depending on the profession of the person that they're collaring.
Do you talk about any of this on your TikTok? Do you do any TikTok videos?
I do lives. I will do TikTok. I just did one last week on this kind of stuff. Someone actually sent me like $100 because they were like, that was super educational. Thank you. I'm like, you're welcome. I appreciate you. But no, I do lives on it. I can't really do regular TikToks. There is Kink Talk, but unless you started your account that way, if I was to go and post something like this now, it gets taken down in like 5 minutes.
Yeah, I did a like a transition where I just had on like normal clothes, and then I changed to like a corset type bra thing, and I was holding a ball gag, and they just kept taking it down.
Instantaneously, they'll take them down. So usually the best place for this kind of stuff is YouTube, obviously podcasts like this. There are tons of different platforms to get that information on. I've been debating starting coffee hour here where people can kind of just come and talk about the...
I'm bland as fuck.
We know.
100% dominant, 92% rigor.
What does that mean?
What is rigor?
It means that you like to tie people up.
I do. Okay. Hey, this one's good. 84% brat tamer.
That makes sense.
Let's see. 84% voyager, or what it is.
Warrior. You like to be,
79% master. 73% primal.
The hunter.
Hunter. Yeah. Okay. 58% experimental. 53% vanilla. Fuck you.
I told you.
50% owner. 43% degrader. 19% non-monogamous. And 17% sadist. What is sadist?
You're a sadistic fuck. So meaning like...
That makes sense.
That kind of thing. Like if you see... If she's begging, you're all about it. That brings you joy.
Yeah, it does.
So that kind of thing.
Yeah, very much so. Well, Kate... thank you. You've educated us on something I did not need education on. But thank you. Thank you very much for doing this with us. I got to hook you and Kylie up, and you and her just do one for your show. Y'all too.
I feel like we would melt people's brains.
You would. Absolutely. You would, because I'm melting, but I don't know if it's in the right way.
Oh, my God.
All right, is it melting or leaking?
Are you leaking from your dick?
Maybe
that's leaking.
Maybe it's a little excited.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
I know. Am I supposed to? I need something, but it ain't Jesus.
I
right
thoroughly enjoyed this. I'm not the most freakiest, kinkiest bitch for once.
No. Oh, no. She got you.
Oh, facts.
But she did it in a very classy way. You see how classy she was?
Yeah, and that's just not me. That's not my persona.
I just want Coe Wetzel just to rocket launch in my asshole. Yeah.
No lube.
That's the next shirt I'm doing for you.
I saw a shirt that says, Coe makes me Wetzel. And I was like, yes, baby. Yes, he does.
Anyway, Kate, thank you for coming on again. I'll have you back again soon. You're fucking awesome. To be able to talk from politics on the last show to this one, you're a badass. Make more fucking episodes.
I will.
You're too good at this. All right, sweetie.
I will.
Well, we're going to upload it here in the next few minutes. So just push it later on. And when we're on our road trip next week, if we get out to Texas, we'll have to come.
I'm trying to come to Texas.
We're probably going to end up in Texas.
We're going to let you know.
Cool. All right. So
if y'all come, we'll probably go to Fort Worth because that's where the party's at, is in Fort Worth.
I'll tell you what. We'll talk to you after this, but we're probably going to come to Texas because I really would love to see you.
Sounds good.
All right. Well, thank y'all for tuning in to Politics, Religion, and Whiskey, the Josh Terry Podcast. We'll see you later.